you to, you know, configure the things the way you like. This has mollies not just on the back face, but also on the sides. So I'm figuring I'll be able to rig mounts for antennas or sleeves for antennas for portable purposes, things like that. It'll be a little less obnoxious than carrying an Alice pack, which is truly obnoxious. So anyway, I don't know how long UPS ground is from Arizona to here, but this guy's got all sorts of goodies, and if you need equipment for ham radio use, radio belts, chest harnesses, load-bearing harnesses, or vests for equipment, you know, there's plenty of choices in this, to say the least. Not to mention things like fire-resistant clothing, and, you know, what do you call it, body armor and a few other things which we don't need. So anyway, this is a wonderful time of the year because of the portable operation. The only thing that I haven't worked out is with my 7000, I've worked out how to use it as a portable station and how to use it in the car. What I haven't worked out is a way to conveniently just mount it from that pack so I can just take it with me in a purely backpack portable mode. I haven't figured that out yet. And that just may be a bridge too far to try to solve all three with the same physical device. Anybody have thoughts on that?
Isn't there a website for this backpack group, what, Gordon? I think there is, I forget what it is, but VHS, that pedestrian mobile group, doing stuff like that.
Yeah, it's called HF Pack, and I'm on it, and it's great stuff. What I'm going to do for now is just take a 2-meter 440 radio and put it in there. So job one is going to be batteries, computers, get on packet, and get on voice, FM, on VHF and UHF, using this as like a communications go bag kind of affair, but no HF radio. So it'll be fine for now, but I was trying to solve the other thing, and maybe I was, again, just too many functions, too hard to solve. But you know, when I get around to it, I'll look around for another 7000 maybe. Although 7000 is pretty juicy on batteries. The other thing is, if I can live, I mean, I really loved my 703 Plus, but I wasn't getting enough use out of it. Of course, it's warm weather, so now I'm saying to myself, why do I not still have that? But that's a whole other matter. And I kind of regret getting rid of it. But it didn't do 2 meters. It didn't do other bands. So Steve was selling his 817. I don't know if it, do we happen to know if he sold it, Jim or Jim? Do you happen to know if Steve Mendelson sold his 817?
I don't know.
Yeah, well, maybe I can work something out for that. The problem with the 817 is A, it's not as good a radio, and B, it's got no tuner built into it. But again, I can work around that problem. You know, the other thing, the radio is so small, you actually can operate it from your chest. You don't need it in your pack. You know, it's not like a Perk 117 radio, which is a whole other thing. If you guys, PRC 117 family of radios is, they're pretty outstanding, but they're, so is their weight.
Seen the specs on that, you know, the Wildcraft KX3.
No, tell me about it.
It's about the size of a house, an ordinary brick, 1/62 of 6 meters. It's a K3 shrunk and down. Has about 10 watts output. Internal cooler, I think, and internal batteries. It was exhibited at Dayton. If you go on the QRP-ARCI website, www.qrparci.org, they have a video on there of Wayne Burdick giving a talk about it, about a 10-minute video on it. It might be interesting. It started around $800 plus other accessories. They'll be available in the summer. They were just bringing that out of date.
Yeah, I'm looking at the preliminary specs on it right now. Wow. That's really, really cool. Too bad they don't have a transverter for it. But, you know, that's fine. Wow, wow, wow. It literally is a chest-mounted radio. it's elecraft.com/kx3caps/kx3.htm in lowercase. Actually, I just input a Google search KX3. It was the second choice. But, wow. Neat stuff. Very, very nice. And they have a 100-watt external power amplifier, so conceivably you could put that in your in your backpack as well. It's got a built-in ATU, so the radio has a built-in ATU, and the amplifier, if you buy that, has a built-in ATU. Well, you know, that's pretty slick. I mean, you literally have a chest-mounted HF transceiver right there in front of you. You literally put on a chest harness.
Runs on less power than an 817. I understand my friend Mike, W3TS, out in Pennsylvania, has one. He took the E batteries compared to some of the other ones.
I'm sorry, your audio is a little low, Don. What about your friend in Pennsylvania? Something about batteries?
He has an 817, and he says they're a little hard on the batteries. I won't say they eat them, but they're pretty hard on them.
Oh yeah, they are. I had one. And the only way to run an 817 is with external batteries. Lots of them.
Well, there are other stuff. Like this one here is supposed to be better than that. And I know there are, you know, you get a monobander, this is a W-Big, it's 50 milliamps. And it's practically nothing because I'm sure you want sideband and data capabilities and a lot of other goodies. When you start getting into a multi-band, then that's, you know, it's got power. It's the price you pay, I guess.
Well, this is a sweet-looking radio. It really is, and, you know, wow. I mean, no VHF or UHF, but, you know, still. Wow, wow, wow. You could build yourself up a nice package around that. The amplifier is, let's see, it's interesting. Rather, two different amplifiers. I'm a little confused here, but anyway. Bottom line is that the radio itself looks sweet. Really, really does. Shipping in the fall and winter of this year, so it's going to be a while.
I gotta go keep your tea now, Gordon. So have fun looking at it. And, yeah, you can drool over that for a while. Figure out what you're gonna sell that you want to pay for it, I guess. I think 800 basic, and then I think some of the other stuff they had on to it. I know the antenna tune, looking at some of the other radios they had, the KX1, not the KX1, the K1. And it was like a giant $1 radio, but then you added an internal tuner, was another $100. So I don't know whether what comes standard with that one. It's so good, like, all the features. Anyway, I'm going to say 73 and let you guys continue. WTJK. Night.
Okay, good night, Don. Well, what I would do with this radio is mount it in some form of hard case that has a clear cover and flip the clear cover case open to operate the radio and then close it back up again. I would mount this thing inside of some sort of clear cover hard case as a chest radio, basically. Dimensions of this suggest that that'll work fine. Really, really neat. And while they don't list the physical dimensions on it, it has a couple of key giveaways as to how big it is. If you look at the microphone, it's an ICOM-style microphone with a different connector. So the radio is about 4 or 5 widths of that microphone. Guess about 5. So 8 inches across, 9 inches, maybe 10 at the most. So if you have a chest pack, you could literally wear it on your chest. Or strap it to the strap of your backpack in a hard case. Flip the case open to make tuning adjustments. Lock the keys again, and then away you go. In fact, if you look how the radio is, and you're reasonable. I mean, if you're right-handed, what you could do is you could actually mount the antenna on the strap of your backpack in the front, vertically. And the antenna, which they show on a BNC connector with an elbow, could be straight up and out the hard case. And the tuning knob would be basically like if you reached for your armpit. And you could actually tune. And all the smaller knobs are below it. So, you know what? Human factors on that, and the microphone would be down, which is perfect. So if you put it on your right strap, your right backpack strap vertically, be able to look at the display in a heartbeat, make changes as you see fit, be able to flip it open and lock it back down pretty easily. So yeah, you have a 10-watt PEP portable radio on your shoulder. Yeah, all right, very cool. Well, maybe next year. K2ZO, K2BA. Oh, well, I guess we're all done now. Well, we did make it after 11. This is probably the longest that we've had in a couple of months. So, very good. I'm going to wish everybody a fine good night, unless there's anybody who wants to make any final comments, questions, confusions. All right, it's K2BAR for the Bergen Amateur Radio Association. Thanking everybody for a wonderful night. It's been fun. It's been interesting. And God bless all. This is W2TTT. Standing by.
W2TTT, KA2FBL.
Howdy. We were just talking about the Elecraft KX3. Did you take a look at that? Yeah, Mike, eat the microphone because I have the volume full up and I can barely hear you. I mean, full up on my 46 Pro, but I got all the words, but boy, I had to listen and the air conditioner kicked on. It made it really miserable to listen to. So yeah, you had a long day, so you made okay with your boat?
Yeah, sorry about that. I keep forgetting. I haven't done the modification on the microphone. Yeah, we made out all right. They didn't want to give it to us at first because I hadn't had something done that I should have done on the computer that I thought that they were doing it there. And they said, oh, no, you got to do it yourself. I said, all right, let me use your computer. He says, oh, no, we can't do that. I said, all right, fine. I'll take the boat, bring it home, then put it on the reservoir. Oh, no, you can't do that either. I said, okay, I know. Thank you. I went on my iPhone. I did it on the iPhone, and I showed him, look here, see? It's done. He says, okay, take the boat.
Don't you love bureaucracy?
Even better than that, what we were talking about on my way up there, they just happened to be having their auction today, and there were just lots and lots and lots of boats that were being sold. And so I was talking to my friend Benji, and I said, you know, we should get into that business, because Benji's got a shop over here. And I said, you know, you could put a couple of racks up, and you could go up there with me. I'll front the money. 13 boats, $1,500, get them in good condition, you know, clean them up with the pressure washer and paint them. They go for $600-$700 each.
Even if you got three or four of each, it would be fine. So, did the usual suspect win the bid?
He was there, and we didn't stay for the auction. We took the boat and ran. It was a hot day. We drove a long way. Then we had to still go down to the reservoir and put it on the reservoir. But my spot was still there, and we put it there. It's not even tied down. It's just a chain wrapped around it, and there's no lock on it. So we're going to fix the cable, and then next day or so I'll go back up there and I'll put the cable on it. There must be some darn good fish in there right now, because we saw a head of a fish that somebody must have, you know, had a good time with. The head was bigger than my foot.
Was it perch?
Largemouth bass.
That big, really?
I got a picture from a while back, just to show you how. At that time, I weighed around 400 pounds, and I'm holding up a fish that stretched from one side of my shoulder to the other, and stuck out on both ends. And you can imagine a 400-pound person got plenty of girth.
I would dare say. Anyway, it's yeah, big fish. Isn't that amazing? Is it catch and release there? I guess it's not if you've had a head.
I've caught some monsters, and I've never taken anything home. I always believe, put it back, let it grow up for next time, have more fun. But Carol wants me to stock the freezer. So if I get anything big, I'll bring it home. She's gotten pretty good at, you know, stopping them from wiggling.
Well, so that sounds pretty, pretty neat. I take it Carol likes fish?
W2TTTKA2FBL. We're not huge fish people, but when it's fresh like that, it's absolutely delicious. I happen to like shark, swordfish, stuff that you can barbecue 1 inch thick, you know. That's my thing. But if you do it right, I'll eat it. Doesn't matter.
Yeah, someone told me a great way to deal with a trout, and I could imagine you could deal with a largemouth bass even more easily. Freshly caught, you have a fire going. You chop off the head, you chop off the tail. You put it on or above the coals, until the skin on one side becomes, shall we say, compromised. And you, at that point, peel off the skin and then flip it over, do the same thing on the other side. Once it's all cuffed and bubbly and blistered, you pull off that side, and then you just eat the meat, leaving the bone in the center.
See, now, that's my only problem with fish. One of the reasons like I like shark and things like that is because just get that little marrow down the middle. I don't have to worry about choking on a little bone. I don't like to fight with my food. I like it already done, you know? So that's why I'm not gigantic on fish. Never took a fish home in my life. Always let it go. And then, you know, I got the marching orders that if we go out, we got to bring it home. So that's it.
Yeah. Nice. Well, a lot of people don't like having to deal with it either, so I can understand that. Anyway, it is what it is. What do I want to ask you? Let's see, something else. No, I can't remember. Oh well. I'm glad you got your boat back. Sorry that it was such grief to do it, but at least you got it there. You know what I ended up doing today? Ended up using the hotspot capability of my phone to provide LAN connectivity, both for my personal laptop and my work laptop while I was on the roll. It was just easier than jamming in my my USB modem and you know, having only one connection. I needed both, so I did that today. I've not done that before where I've had more than two of my own devices, and three of my colleagues made connections as well at the same time. So it was kind of neat, and thank God for large mid implants.
Yeah, that's when we, you know, I splurged. I didn't have a real cell phone. I was working with an I-95 for the past 15 years or so. So Carol finally convinced me to get the iPhone. I got one, Howie got one, and I bought one for Carol. And we got the unlimited plan. If it wasn't for that, I wouldn't have had the boat because, you know, I was able to get on with it, so it paid for me to not have the I-95 at that point. I haven't gotten to the point where I need the hotspot because I really don't go and do anything, but, you know, in the future, I was thinking about it.
Does the iPhone have a hotspot capability officially? I don't even know. Or, I guess it does on Verizon. In AT&T they call that tethering, and I assume they do that in Verizon too. But my Android phone, my AT&T Motorola Atrix, does that. I just turn it on the way I went. And frankly, it was easier to get that working than it was to use the Communications Manager software in the laptop. So I very well may take the AT&T Communications Manager software out of the startup menu and just go with the generic Microsoft Wi-Fi network manager.
You know, I wanted to ask you a question. We're rebuilding Carol's car. Put a brand new engine in it. Went from an 80-amp alternator to a 240-amp alternator. Ran wires to the back so that it'll charge an auxiliary battery mounted in the back. I want to put a jail cell in the back and be able to completely run whatever I want to run off that battery, but still be able to charge it from the alternator. I don't know if I should go with a marine battery, gel cell with the boost regulator on it, or should I go with a regular automotive type battery?
Well, number one, whatever battery you decide, you need to put it through some sort of isolation circuit so that you don't try to start the car with it, okay?
Oh, yeah, that's definite. I only want it that it'll be able to get charged from the alternator, not to be able to go and the other in the other direction, because I'm really not putting, I'm not wiring it so that you're going to actually run it off the alternator. I just want to be able to keep it charged. I want the battery to run separate, you know, without, you know, without the alternator being on. The last thing I want to do is waste a gallon of gas just to charge a battery up when the battery's already got enough power.
Yeah, so like they have in trucks and they have on, well, sometimes in RVs, you'll have a battery isolator circuit so that your auxiliary battery will get charged from the alternator in the main battery, but only while the vehicle's running, and other times it will basically lock itself out of the circuit so that you're only running off that auxiliary battery and not in any way, you know, tapping into the car's starting battery. What I do to make that happen is a little crude, but it works, amazingly enough. And that is, at the end of a piece of number four coming off my battery, my regular battery, I have a rig runner, the main feed, and then on the first battery position, or the first tap position on the rig runner, I have a 155 ampere hour deep cycle, you know, like a battery backup battery. And I use that, and that works out really, really well. So I would recommend that in a heartbeat to do that. And that's one way of doing it. It's a little crude. The downside is that you know, the fusing and the well, the good news is the fusing and the isolation among the different taps of the rig runner will help you, and there's a voltage drop there. So if you're running super high power radios, 100 watt, 200 watt radios, then you might need a boost regulator.
Well, I'm going to run probably just a 2 meter 440 in the car mounted under the seat with a little gooseneck and the head right between the console. The battery in the back is more along the lines of you can park somewhere, take a radio in a box, throw a wire up, and just use the battery, and it's there. And if you got a jail cell, you don't have to worry really about it too much. It's just kind of sitting there. I just want to keep it charged.
Well, that's an entirely different thing. So, yeah, sure, you can do that. The only thing I would suggest is if the radio's got a remote control head, run the battery off the second, run the radio off the second battery.
Okay, your reasoning behind that is why bother accidentally killing the first battery?
Exactly, exactly.
Yeah, I was thinking of that too. My friend has everything wired already like that, and I didn't know if I wanted it that way or not. He's got wire going to the back, and he's got wire going under the seat. But it doesn't matter. It's easy enough to reroute everything. Still didn't finish with the car yet, so... my question is, though, on the battery that I put in the back, would you put a regular or a marine battery, deep cycle, because of the fact that you want to run it down? Or, I don't know if you want to run it down, but, you know, it will run down.
If it's a space issue, I would run a marine battery. If it's not a space issue, I'd get one of those Giganda 155 ampere hour backup batteries that they use for, you know, backup battery systems in telephony and telecommunications and in computer centers.
Well, it's a Toyota Matrix, and it's not like there's a lot of room. I was going to run it in the back, all the way in the back, because there's a little torn out cover to cover that area, so... You know, nothing's really going to get in the way. But I don't want to use the whole thing up, because then if we go somewhere, we want to put a radio in the back or a box or whatever, you know. I want to be at least able to have some room in there.
Okay, so if you're going to do that, then the right answer is to get yourself, I just said the name of the company. You know the ones that make the yellow, the blue, and the red cap radio batteries. You know the one I'm talking about. The ones with the cylindrical cells.
Yeah, that's what I'm getting. A gel cell. I forgot the name too when I sell them. But that's the best thing. You can mount it in any position. You could mount it anywhere. It could roll around. Nothing really happens to them. They're very well made. So I figured I'd put one of them there. I forgot the difference between the colors. I one of them, one color is deep cycle, one color is standard. I forgot what the other color was.
We got the one that's deep cycle. But, you know, they're only about 100 ampere hour. You know that, right?
Well, it's not a problem charging them up. That's the thing. I'm not really too concerned, because I could always turn on the car and, you know, give it a jolt of power. I'm not too worried about the alternator, because the 240-amp alternator.
Yeah, okay, you know, it's fine. I would also run a pair of number 4 or number 2 leads from the one battery, off the isolation circuit mounted on the first battery, all the way down to the second battery, and fuse it on both ends, on both leads.
So tie the two batteries in together?
Through a isolation circuit mounted at the first front battery, yes.
This way it'll only go in one direction and not the other?
Right. They're battery isolator circuits. You'll find them. If you just Google the phrase battery isolator and RV, you'll be fine.
All right. That'll be great. I think West Mountain sells that, if I remember properly. Although their catalog has changed quite a bit since it was sold, but I think they have a lot more stuff in stock now than they did, you know, not too long ago.
Oh, really? I know there were changes there. So what's the deal? He sold the one division or something? What was all that about?
They got out completely. That's the way I understand it. They sold out completely. The people who bought it expanded the catalog, but they were having some kind of problems filling orders. And there was a lot of things that were back ordered, but I hear now that it's pretty good.
Yeah, I did notice the catalog change. So, W1UHF is no longer a part of the game. He sold the business, huh?
W2TTTKA2FBL. That's my understanding. I was told, when there were problems that I was trying to get stuff, and I asked a friend of mine, he says, no, they were out of it already. So that must have been why last year when they were supposed to, come to the Hamfest, and they didn't do it, and then they were supposed to do this. They already had a plan, because supposedly last summer is when it happened.
Yeah, I have a power gate, if that's what you're looking for. We could do a Let's Make a Deal.
All right, that sounds fine. We could do that.
Hold on, before I shoot off my mouth, let me see if I can put my hand on one. Hold on a second.
It's not a rush, you don't have to put your hands on it for a second.
It's not the rush factor that was in play, it was the, am I going to have to remember that I didn't do it before, and therefore haven't done it? Yes, I think I know where one is. I have one here that's mounted in one box. I have three of them. And I know there's one that's going to sit idle, so we can do Let's Make a Deal. It's not a super power gate. It's an original PG-40.
Tell you the truth, I don't know the difference, but it's not going to be a big deal one way or the other, because I'm sure I'm not going to worry about high power. I'm not running high power probably from that for at least a few days.
Okay. Well, the super power gates sell for $140. I think the other ones are just over 100, so why don't we say $70? Does that work?
Yeah, that works for me. Fine.
Okay. I just have to go grab the other one. I know where it is. The difference is that they charge at a fixed rate versus what do you call it? The other one where you had the super power gate, you had a choice of all sorts of different rates for charging. And a little bizarre. Because I have one of those too, and when I put it in the same position as I have the other one, it's like, okay, why did I spend the extra money here? So I have selectivity, I have a choice of selections which I never use and look like I used it in the dumb one. So it's like, okay, whatever. Anyway, the one thing I think you might want to do in your trunk is like a gel or an AGM battery, one way or the other. You don't want any liquid floating around back there.
Oh, absolutely. I wanted to do that from the very beginning. I want to make it simple, clean, and easy to be able to do whatever we want to do and still not take up a lot of room, because Carol's car, not mine, and I want to understand that, if she wants to go somewhere with me and do something, fine, we got the power back there to do it. I don't have to carry a battery around in a battery in a box, radio in a box doesn't have to have a battery with it. I could set it up right off the back battery of the car, and it's perfectly, isolated from the rest of the car, and it's fully charged. So wherever I go, I could always hook up to it.
Yeah, that makes sense. That makes really, really good sense. What you may want to do is, at the far end of that, you and I discussed this previously, is the idea of putting a boost, you were looking at the 200 watt boost regulator at one time. I would recommend against that, unless you're actively going to be able to walk over to it and turn it on, if you, you know. If you do that, that'd be very cool. And then I would follow, I'd put the output of that into a rig runner. And that way everybody gets 14 volts all the time. You just go in the back, flip the switch to turn the rig runner on, you know, to turn the boost regulator on. You normally would have battery voltage there, whatever that is, or charging voltage from the front. But if you're stable and sitting, just kick the boost regulator on, everything would get 14.2. And that would be very, very cool. Very simple way of going, doing business. And, the only other thing I would recommend is get a plastic battery box and bolt the sucker down so it doesn't move. You know, put a strap over the top of it and clamp it down onto something. Possibly even consider mounting the boost regulator to the side of it along with the rig runner.
Oh yeah, that's a done deal. I already have extra battery boxes here. I was discussing it with my friend, and exactly your scenario is the way I want to do it. The only thing what I would like to do is, I would like to have some sort of a plastic cover that I could put over the rig runner, because I don't want to have something plugged into it and something else bangs into it and, you know, knocks something out. I like to find a simple way of putting, even if it was like a snap together box that I could mount behind it and then snap the front on it just so that it doesn't have something bang into it, since it is a cargo area.
Okay, so what you do is you take a, like a small Google MTM case guard, CASE-GARD, Google MTM case guard and the phrase dry box, and they make some smaller dry boxes. Now you have to go crazy over the dry box property. Another thought would be to use another company. What's it called? There's a couple other companies, but basically, take what amounts to a dry box, compromise it so that you have, you know, basically where the lid comes in, where the two, you know, basically make a hole in the base so that that's really just a notch. So that way when the lid closes, everything's kept bundled together. All the wires going in and out for all the outboard equipment, not necessarily inboard equipment. But anyway, you could actually put all the leads together in a hole. And that would protect the thing, but you could mount the rig runner inside that, and that way they'd be protected from being manhandled, etc.
You know, it's funny. I've got a couple of their smaller boxes. I got one of each of two different sizes to play with for radios in a box. And I had the Yaesu 7800 that I was going to use for it, because I'm trying to make a radio in a box for Carol. Something light, simple, easy that she could operate and just hook up to that battery. And I was even thinking of using that and being able to hook something up as a battery box in that respect. But I looked at it and I said, I'm better off just using a battery box and using that as a radio in the box. But my my problem is, you know, I use that 7800 as a radio in a box, and I really want to use that inside the car, so I'm going to give her the 8900 in the car, but don't use the 10 meter or the 6 meter, because I don't usually use that anyhow. I just hook up the 2 meter and 440.
Oh, curse you, Red Baron. I like 6 FM, but that's all right. All right, well, here's a thought. I don't know which dry box models you have, but if you don't mind spending money on battery, I'm thinking Carol and weight of equipment and lugging. And the case guard cases are pretty nice as long as you don't put something like a brick inside of it. So if you take the 7800 and you don't mind spending the other side of a small fortune in batteries, go to the Buddy Pole site and buy the 4 or the 8 ampere hour. The 8 ampere hour A123 pack weighs nothing. And it'll run her for an entire day and then some.
Well, first of all, the reason I wasn't going to do the 6 and the 10 is because she doesn't want a big antenna that she has to take off. She wants something she could just drive around with. So one of the things I have down at the PAL, I have a small magnet mount 2 meter 440 that I could actually put on the car and just run the coax through the channel and leave it there permanently, and it'll never come off. So that would be good. Hold on 1 second. I'll be right back. KA2FBL.
W2TTT.
Sorry about that. I'm back. We're going to run that antenna. Other than that, what I wanted to do was I wanted to mount a huge antenna on there, which just wouldn't be right for her, because then she'd have to take it down and put it up, and it didn't work. It worked for me. The bigger, the better. But unfortunately for her, it's easier. So that's why there's no 6 meter, 10 meter currently in that plan. But everything else will work fine. The 8900 is a great radio. That's what I'm on right now. The only problem is they have the microphone problem. There is an adaption for the microphone. Turns out there are 3 holes that are opened up for the microphone, but only one is drilled. 2 of them are phonies, and that's where you get the low audio. But there's a couple little ideas that float around in opening up the audio. Supposedly that works pretty good, and I just haven't had time to do it to this one, to Carol's, or the one at the PAL.
What are you, busy or something? Just kidding. Well, what you may want to do on her car is do a 2 meter 440 mount and a 6 and 10 meter mount and just not populate the second mount.
I like that idea, because then that mount, if we go somewhere, we could have an antenna that we could just put onto it. I like that idea a lot better. The reason I like the 8900 is because you could do the cross-band repeat, and it works really good if there's an emergency situation. Another reason why I'm looking to hook up the 10 meter and the 6 meter on the 8900 at the PAL, because I kind of want to, I wanted to do it for field day and use the, if the conditions were right, and use like an HT and see if anything comes in on 10 meters. But I'm not bothering for field day. The only thing I'm doing for the PAL is a display, and it'll be down in York's field day. We're working feverishly for campaign for mayor here, and it happens to be the son of the head of the PAL, and the family is very close to us, so we'd like to see him as mayor.
Oh, very good. Very good. You know, my son ran for council in our town last year. Lost, but the good news is that our town council decided not to vote for the thing that some people said they voted for. The people who were recently elected are for it. In this case, the community center. We don't need a community center in our town. We need our schools to have gymnasiums, not to bulldoze the trees of one of our parks to build what amounts to a $4 million operating budget liability, you know, which is essentially a gym. on top of whatever debt service we're going to have to carry in order to build the damn thing. So that's a whole other matter. So when it came up for authorization for architectural plans and drawings, it was voted down 3-2. Fortunately, the council was such that one of the councilmen was missing. He would have voted yes for it, and it's unclear as to what the mayor would have done as a tiebreaker. So for now, that matter is dead, which is good. But my guess is now that it's been voted down once, they'll try to sneak it back up one other time, probably in the fall. We'll come back and do it again one more time. But anyway. So, how many antenna ports are on the back of the 8900?
You know, you got me on that one. I'll feel around and I'll let you know. There's only one.
Okay. So if there's only one, what you need to do is you need to get one of those diplexer thingies for 6 meters and below and 2 meters and above, and wire it to the mount that you're not going to use with a short pigtail and leave it just unattended. And in normal use, you run the coax out of the back of the radio directly to the 2-meter 440 antenna. When you want to add the 6 and 2-meter antenna, you unscrew that cable from the back of the radio, plug it into the diplexer, and plug the diplexer into the radio, and install the second antenna, of course. W2TTT, who's that? Oh, well. All right. So anyway, sir, anything else on the subject that you want to cover? Because I think I should probably go to bed because 6 o'clock comes early.
No, actually, you've more than covered what I was asking. That's very good. Thank you. And we have nice redecorating I'm doing over at the PAL, which when I'm done, I'll send you the pictures. You'll love it. But thanks for everything. Have a good night, and I'll probably catch you in the next day or so. W2TTT KA2FEL.
Okay, Mike, good hearing you both now and also on the radio with Carol earlier today. Give her my best. And Barra's not going to be doing the VHF contest thing, so I'm going to go do the Red Cross draw on Saturday morning, because that's what I think I'm doing. And Jeremy's hockey practice for tomorrow night got canceled, which is good, I guess. So basically all I'm doing is taking Nancy to work, taking Nancy home from work around 5 o'clock or so, and in between doing my job and picking up Jeremy from school. So It's going to be a fairly civilized day tomorrow. I could use a civilized day. And I'd better cut the grass. Anyway. The other thing I got to do. So 7-3 and have a good one. K2FPL. W2TTT. Godspeed.
7-3, Gordon. My best to the family. Good night.
Oh, one other thing. I think it was a kick that Howie works with Mrs. A. That's pretty cool. So, I'm still... One quick clarification on that. Did she ask to call you or you ask her to have you call her regarding a radio selection? How did that all come about exactly?
It was brought up, Howie was talking, and something happened with ham radio, and she mentioned that her two boys were hams, and he said that we were, and she just had a question on radios, and, I'm talking to her, and I said, well, where do you live? And she said, Bergenfield, and I said, well, I have somebody who's a scoutmaster in that area who happens to be very good with this, and maybe you should speak to him, and that's how it came about.
And how did you end up on the phone with her?
Howie was out there at work, and he called me.
Ah, okay. Interesting. Okay. So, yes, so she's actually trying to figure out what radio to go get her sons, which is kind of cool. Actually, at this point, for a simple handy-talkie, I would recommend, something like the Wash-On radios. They're pretty reliable, and they're about $100 a piece. I think that's a good start. Anyway, 7-3, KHFPL, WTTT, 9-8.
Good night.